Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join the pastor.
This morning we are turning to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to just spin off the baptism. I think it's kind of cool that it was brought to my attention that you turned 94, Alice. I just wanted to nail that down again because of the history that we looked at in baptism and the way we hear stories. You know, I was one of those guys, and maybe you're one of those too, who said, I don't like history. And it could have had everything to do with maybe a class I took or something, but it's just not true. And I have been converted. I love history. And everybody does, especially when it's about them, right? Because we got this selfish little thing like, really? You know, that happened in my legacy, my family tree, my whatever. And we see that the history books are filled with stuff that teach us. And so I want to spin off of what Hebrews 11 also says in terms of by faith, so-and-so did this and so-and-so. And then Hebrews 12 has these three verses read along with me, not out loud. That'd be weird. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That word consider in Greek means take account. So write it down, memorize it. Consider him, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. That's what we're reading here. Who endured such opposition. So consider that. Okay, take account of it. Don't ever forget it. There are world events that are so tragic that people say, we will never forget. And I am telling you today, don't forget. My dad gave me a book once. Horatius Bonair is the author. You ever hear this guy? Did you consider John and Chelsea to name your child Horatius? No. I don't know. I don't know who Horatius' parents were, but it's a goodie. But his book is like old English, and it is painful to read. And I don't know why my dad gave it to me. Thankfully, it's, I think, only 70 pages, but I was just glued to this thing because of how transformative the story of the cross was to this man, Horatius Bonair. He's from England, and he went around the countryside because of the impact of the cross and the suffering of Christ and the resurrection and the beautiful story. It transformed him, and he went around to the countryside and said exactly what he wrote in this book, which is why I couldn't put it down. I don't know what was the magic in it, but he was simply laying out the facts that Jesus is real, as if he had just discovered it. And the story of him going to the cross with such pain is true. And he would stand there on the countryside amongst the farmers or in the city streets, and he would do that pedestal thing because this guy's old too. And way back in the day in England, you know, horse and buggy days. And basically he would just tell them who Christ was. He wasn't necessarily qualified, so to speak, but he went and he told people the story and the impact. Jesus rose. I mean, you got to think about that, says Horatius. You got to understand that this is in our history books. This is part of the legacy that so many people have pointed to in so many years that have gone by in the history of this world. You can't ignore it. And like C.S. Lewis says, if you don't agree with it, what are you saying? Jesus was a lunatic? The cloud of witnesses is much like the village that raises a child on behalf of Carson and the many other children of whom we all were one at one time. It takes a village to raise a child because we know the hardships and the challenges in life, and that's why the good news of the gospel, and that's why consider it, take account that it is him who had a great deal of suffering brought on by the opposition, now gives us the hope of what we may go through. It's the cross. History is beautiful. I'm not going to say anything more than sometimes we get into it different ways. Maps. Maps are wonderful because maps are always laying out history for us. If it isn't current, it also has stuff that obviously was written about long ago and marked down, elevations, streets, roads. Now, the maps are profound because in our Christian walk, we have to understand where we came from in order to know where we are and where we're going. That's the role of a map for the most part in life. And so we engage in maps to try get a bearing in life as to how this is all going to work. Maps come in figurative ways too in life, but I got to tell you a story because it may be more profound than you think in helping you understand why history is valuable in order to know where you're going. So Joyce and I went on a hike once back in the day, and it's actually a lake that has a nice trail to it now, but I know there wasn't a trail, and we took our dog, two of us, and we had our packs, and we were going to go for two nights, three nights. And the guy who told us about where this lake was said, well, here's the map. And you know those topography maps? It's just kind of weird. They have way too many lines on it. But I says, okay, good, thanks. Thanks for that. And he says, but you know, if you really need to know where you're going, follow the ridge. When you get up on that ridge, right by the park. You know, I knew where to park. So I go, oh, yeah, okay. And he says, there's no trees, probably windy. Follow that ridge till you get to the big evergreen tree in the field. Now, this is the Rocky Mountains that I'm kind of like. There's one evergreen tree you want me to look for out there? So we missed it, and we kept going, followed the ridge. I do agree that later when I went back to see this evergreen tree, I knew exactly what he was talking about because it's this beautiful solo evergreen tree like Christmas in the middle of summer and then this open meadow around, and that's where we were supposed to turn left. We kept going and we got lost, and this is what happened. We ran out of water and we ran out of daylight, and we ended up getting a little worried because we were looking for a lake. And I pulled out the map and I found out all the squiggly lines that I knew is that they were closer together, that it was a steeper grade. And by the indication of where the map was, the lake lay at the bed of a cliff because the lines were that close. And I got to say, this map told us where we came from and helped us to where we were going. And so we were peeking over different places with the little light we had and finally found the lake, and it was very helpful. I think that when having so many people put the information together to help you understand the direction you need to go, you have to pay attention to it. And this is where I see the cloud of witnesses coming in that's invaluable to us as it points to the cross. What are we doing with the story of the cross, the story of the resurrection, the reason why we get to witness some beautiful legacies in the family of the Vandams and the Scholings, and this day in which we've seen baptism that points again back not only to the cross, but even deeper into the Old Testament through what water means and the purification and the beauty of how God looks us to be purified and cleaned up in order to bring glory to his name. Well, if maps isn't enough for you, how about ancestry.com? Well, I don't know. I've heard a few people say a few things about that, so we won't get into it, but it's certainly selling. And I think that's because whether people say they love history or not, they want to know. In fact, I just met somebody, and I've known her a long time, but I just met her family, who told me that now, in her late 20s, early 30s, I think, she found out who her dad really was. And that changes a lot in a person. You might have some deep compassion for this person, but when the history books change like that, we understand how valuable it becomes in terms of how we live our life moving forward. Suddenly it becomes something that's very profound. And the history books through the years, thousands of years, pointing to the cross, give us our identity in Christ, even though we're really working hard to be some guy that is identified by what we do or what we say or how we act. Sometimes we ask who I am, and it may be a descriptive role that you fulfill, or it's just because you have a last name. Maybe it's something you earned or your job, but we always are struggling to find our identity by taking what and who we are, not only today, but from the history books in order to project who we may become, at the expense, perhaps, of dwelling on the whole history of the cross, knowing that we are broken people in need of a Savior, and we got one. And this is why we celebrate baptism, in order for us to celebrate and live in that identity with great humility, because we didn't earn it. It was given to us as a gift, much like we highlighted adoption when John and Chelsea were up here. And this is not just an idea that's happening here with 100 people this morning and a few other churches scattered around. This is the church worldwide through the history of the ages pointing to the cross. I have a little something here that I did when I went to South Carolina for another wedding that I did. And I don't know if anybody has, let's see here, I've got to get this right here. You're wondering what I'm doing? Me too. Flags are something a dude was selling, and he was a historian. And does anybody want to come up and hold this? This won't take long. No? Got right on, Gary. Okay, we got one. Okay. I just was going through this flag at this market down in South Carolina, and this is an English flag that bears the cross from England and the cross from Scotland that are blended, and it was their flag before the 18th century. And I listened to this guy talk about how the cross was so symbolic that they wanted to put it on a flag already back then as a way to understand that the entire country is founded on that principle, the cross. And now, of course, the flag resembles this. I got somebody else, a volunteer. Here's another one. Hey, Bowen, nice work. Oh, and Jonah, yeah, you can come up, Jonah, because I got a third flag. Okay. Oldest flag in the history of the world. Not literally, because it's new. I know, I get it. But this is Ireland. In the 4th century, they seen the cross of Jesus Christ against a blue sky, and they developed this flag as a way in which they could commemorate and champion who Christ was in their lives and in their country of Ireland. And the 4th century, it wasn't called a flag because flags really weren't acknowledged until the 14th century, which this was the first. All right. This one, because this guy in South Carolina just goes on. This one you have to get right because it's got words on it. Got it? Yeah. I've never seen this flag before. But the guy went, oh, you know, he stops like some great history teacher. He goes, this is the original flag of the United States of America. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, I know. He says, but it's George Washington's pick for a flag that when he came onto the land of the United States of America, this is the flag he gave to all his squadrons to plant wherever they would go as a way to celebrate and point to the cross of Jesus Christ. All right, you can put them down and have a seat and lay them on the... Just lay them on there. Someone might want to feel them or, I don't know, steal them. Now, there are other flags, and we know many that have, and I think it's kind of ironic that this is Christmas tree in the middle of a flag after having talked about that one I missed in the mountains. But we have a great deal of history, not only with the cloud of witnesses, not only with the history of flags here, but we have a great deal that helps us understand that this cross is certainly something that somebody didn't just create as a publicity stunt or is it a marketing value. It is something that everyone points to through the history of the world that helps us understand that we should never forget our identity and the humility that we have in a gift that was given, much like Carson's received this morning, in terms of our hope in our future in this world. A cloud of witnesses, the witnesses who have seen, much like Hebrews describes, as the person who received the baton in the journey of life only to pass it on because of the great value of understanding who we are in the eyes of an author and a perfecter of our faith, as we read in verse 2. And so, wishing that sometimes in my life, history class didn't just include history and then another class called biblical studies, but that the integration of history would also valuably show the presence of Christ through what we see and call history from all the countries, through all the world, right up until this time, in order for us to know that biblical studies permeated life in such a great way that they thought the world of Jesus and the crucifixion story and the resurrection and the hope it offers, that they would put it on the flag that gets raised above their country's land each and every day. And so amongst the cloud of witnesses and taking account or considering him who endured such opposition, much like the many did through history, let us not grow weary and lose heart, but celebrate, much like John and Chelsea did today, in receiving the gift that gives us what we call grace amongst hope with love. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of the experience, please come and join us. Be blessed wherever you are.